Tin Holland, first woman police chief in Sausalito history. Sausalito, late 1970s. Chapter 1. The desperate developer pressures the peacemaker police chief. Fenton Felton slaps his palm on the tile table, and my coffee mug jumps, splashing coffee on his ring finger, where there is no ring, only a band of white skin where the ring used to be.
You're not listening. Remove those damn deadbeat houseboat squatters from my harbor, now!
He's in my face, and I back away, flap the air with my hand. God, does he not know how he smells? You've been through an ugly divorce, haven't you? I say, hiding behind my mug. I extend a napkin to him, then take another sip of my coffee. He snatches the napkin with a glare, wipes his hand, then the table.
Is there any other kind?
He snarls.
How do you know about that?
Most people appreciate that I ask questions, but not Fenton Felton. His cologne smells of leather and lemon. Not a bad fragrance per se, but he drenches himself in it, and I feel like I'm being deprived of oxygen. Sausalito is a small town, I say. Also, I talked to Alice, his ex.
Don't believe a word she says.
He pauses.
Well, some of it might be true.
You mean how you cheated on her with a waitress half your age? The music thumps through the speakers so loudly I have to raise my voice or lean closer. I choose to speak louder.
Never happened,
he says. A waitress at this very establishment.
We were talking,
he says,
about the eviction raid you're about to execute. That is, if you want to continue as police chief.
He thrusts his face back into mine, and I pull away again. Slowly, my eyes on his. He wants me to fear him. I won't let that happen. We're in the window alcove of the bar whose name we dare not speak. Mayor Sally Cal's establishment, the closest I have to a home away from home. The window opens to the sidewalk, so we can see passers-by and they can see us. Not bad for the police chief to be seen talking with big-shot developer Fenton Felton, given his recent tirades against me. I was tempted to show up in civilian garb, because it's Sunday. But this is duty, not pleasure. My uniform pants feel tight today. I'd better lay off the pastries. When Fenton demanded to meet about the evictions, I invited him to the police station. He countered with his office. We settled on the dare not, which surprised me. I figured he would hate this place because of the hippies and the groovy, laid-back vibes. But this is where he met Brenda, a waitress here, so what do I know? I don't see Brenda here today. The Dare Not is a quirky mix of cafe and bar. You can order coffee and breakfast in the morning and booze anytime. They offer a pizza special every night. There's beer and wine on tap. It's early afternoon, and the brunch crowd is thinning. We're putting together a plan for the evictions, I say, my voice firm.
Who needs a plan?
He says.
Evict them all now. What are you afraid of, a bunch of no-good hippies and pretend pirates?
He signals for another drink.
I never supported you for police chief. You fancy yourself some kind of peacemaker.
He spits that word out with contempt. I was hired, I say, calmer than I feel, because the city leaders of Sausalito support my non-confrontational approach to policing, which means we communicate with...
No, you were hired because you're a woman.
I lean back in my chair and chuckle. For centuries, I say, folding my hands on the table, women were not hired for jobs like mine because they were women. But Sally Cal is mayor now, and it's a new day in Sausalito. I've told the Aquarius Harbor residents that they have to get legal and pay rent or leave, and...
No,
he says.
It's too late for that. I've got a dock to build. They can't live there anymore. Rent or no rent. You have to clear out Gate 9 now.
Jenna, the waitress this afternoon, is cheery but cool when she arrives with Fenton Felton's martini. I admire the effortless way she balances her plates and glasses on her tray, like she can do it on a tight wire and not drop anything. When I was hired as a police officer here 5 years ago, it was because I was a woman. The first and only woman officer in Sausalito. You can look it up. Sally Cal, who was a city council member at the time, encouraged me to apply. I met Sally decades ago when I ran away at 15 from my alcohol-addled mother and found a job as a maid in her brothel on Nob Hill in San Francisco. I am forever grateful that she never pressured me to be a working girl. I was not pretty, so it was probably a business decision, but I also think she understood me more than I did. I changed sheets, cleaned toilets, and lived in a cramped but comfortable room in one of the three turrets of the grand house, up 12 circular stairs wrapped inside a brick wall. In my 20s, I was a police officer in the Army during Korea, and I learned to mediate dicey disputes, not just make arrests. Later, I was a trainer at the Presidio Army Post on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge. I thought Sausalito was a peaceful and prosperous suburb, like a sleepy Greek island. But I was wrong. I knew about the conflict at Aquarius Harbor, which had been simmering for years. But when Fenton Felton bought the property and announced his plans to build a luxury harbor and condo complex, it erupted into a boiling inferno. That was a year ago, shortly after I became chief. The houseboat tenants are sticking together, I say. We don't have the manpower to evict them all at once, and we'll have an insurrection if we...
Not my problem. Arrest them all. Sink their damn boats. Whatever it takes.
As he laughs, everyone in the Dare Not turns in our direction. Fenton Felton is short, with broad shoulders and long arms, and he dresses in black and white like a penguin, sometimes with a black bow tie, cape, and top hat. According to Alice, he was a magician in his younger years, performing for children's birthday parties, and that's where his getup comes from. He's not handsome, but he has an undeniable magnetism. His eyes are blue like the sky. Today, he's left his tie, cape, and hat at home, and the two top buttons of his white shirt are open. You must know people call you Dastardly Whiplash, I say. That must sting.
Because I cackle with glee when I crush my opponents?
He lets loose his demonic laugh, as if he can't help it. At one time, he was rich and successful. A man about town, or so I've heard. But his new luxury houseboat project has not gone according to plan. He did not anticipate that the houseboaters would put up such a fight. Nor did I. And the more desperate he's become, the more he's turned into a cartoon version of himself. I've never found him likable, but he used to be less combative.
I can't help how I laugh,
he says.
I was born this way. I'm not a bad guy. I'm misunderstood. Alice has extorted more in alimony than I make, and...
He stops and sputters.
It's so unfair. I follow the law and jump through hoops to get my permits and my loans and my eviction warrants, and those squatters flaunt the law. And yet I get hissed, and they get cheered. Explain that to me.
The front door opens, and here comes Huck, Fenton's sidekick. He's a large man wearing a gray suit and a Homburg hat with a shiny silver ribbon around it. He hasn't shaved, and the gray stubble on his chin looks like sandpaper. Fenton Felton gestures from Huck to me.
I believe you've met my partner, Huck Hennessy. I call him Hick.
I shake his meaty hand. I thought your nickname was Snivel or Sniffle?
It was.
He says, and sniffles twice.
But then...
And here he stops, twirls his arm in a theatrical flourish, and hiccups violently, falling to his knees. He gets up, as if nothing has happened. He's more graceful than you'd think for such a burly man. Fenton laughs like it's the funniest thing he's ever seen. It's a different kind of laugh this time, high-pitched and melodic like a young child's. Huck whispers to me.
He loves my hiccuping shtick, so I indulge him now and then.
Fenton wraps his arm around his partner's shoulders.
Hick is a virtuoso at permits, partnerships, and shell companies,
he says.
Bending the rules without breaking them. What he specializes in breaking.
And here he pauses to lock eyes with me.
Is people who are uncooperative.
He lingers over each syllable and cackles again.
Yes,
Huck says.
But I learned it all from the brilliant Fenton Felton.
He flexes a wooden ruler and sniffles, then almost convulses with another hiccup. Fenton giggles again. Huck, I say, how are Kath and your daughters? He smiles, and I suspect that he appreciates that I didn't call him by his nickname. Fenton cuts him off before he can answer.
Hick is also accomplished,
he says,
at digging up incriminating information about the personal lives of public servants who are uncooperative, and leveraging that information as necessary. You are, Chief Tin, an at-will employee of the city.
Huck bends the ruler so fiercely it snaps. A jagged piece skitters along the floor, and Jenna, holding a pile of plates above her head, kicks it into the corner. You're going to expose my personal life? I laugh. I don't have a personal life to expose. Unlike you, who... I give him a silent stare. Let's just say I dig too, like Huck, and I've learned a few things.
Are you threatening me?
He says. I believe it's you threatening me, I say. But you're probably bluffing. I fold my hands on the table again and speak calmly. I will use my professional judgment to determine how best to enforce the law.
One more thing, Chief,
he says, handing me a photo of a lovely young blonde.
My daughter Dawn has gotten herself mixed up with those damn hippies down at Aquarius Harbor. Follow her and report back to me.
I push away the photo. With all due respect, sir, chasing after your wayward daughter is not in my job description.